Hey, welcome to the Growth Dummy summary of the book Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. Meditations shows how to become more self-disciplined, stop caring what people think, and how to withstand life's emotional storms. Marcus Aurelius was a powerful Roman emperor and a great Stoic philosopher. He wrote down all these thoughts in a private journal to himself. Our top quote from this book is, "Choose not to be harmed, and you won't feel harmed. Don't feel harmed, and you haven't been." End quote. So who was Marcus Aurelius and why listen to him? Well, at one time he was the most powerful and important man in the world. He was emperor of Rome for almost two decades, starting in the year 161 AD. Although Marcus was a powerful ruler, his problems appear to be surprisingly similar to many of the problems we all face daily. For example, he felt anxious about his son getting sick. He worried about other people's opinions. He tried not to get angry with selfish people. And most importantly, he sometimes had trouble climbing out of his comfy bed in the morning. Well, that's probably why this book is still popular today, despite being written so long ago. The writing is clear and direct. It's just good old Marcus Aurelius talking to himself, struggling with life problems that we all face. Oh, and he was launching a few wars on the side too. Can't forget about that. One of the most fascinating things about this book is that Marcus almost definitely never meant for these notes to become public. And to me, that makes this book even more special. I mean, where else can you read the true private innermost thoughts of the most powerful leader in the world? Now, this is technically a philosophy book, and most people today hear the word philosophy and their brain often shuts off. I don't blame you. When I hear philosophy, I imagine old men arguing for hours in some university tower about the definition of a word. But in the ancient Roman times, philosophy was a very practical thing. It was a tool you could use to handle life's everyday stresses, challenges, and problems. And by the way, later in history, religion would actually take this place in most people's lives, giving them moral principles and rules to follow. Okay, so now we know a little bit about our good boy Marcus, so now let's jump into the summary of the best lessons from Meditations, starting with lesson one, be a parent to your inner teenager to live a good, disciplined life. Just like all of us, there was a voice inside Marcus Aurelius's head that wanted nothing more than to be lazy and overindulge. And Marcus saw it as his duty to parent, coach, and discipline that inner teenager. In some parts of Meditations, it sounds like Marcus's inner adult is directly arguing with his inner teenager. For example, at one point, he's writing about what to do if you have trouble getting out of bed in the morning. And then another voice, almost, it suddenly interrupts and it whines, but it's nicer here, like nicer in bed. And then the first voice responds, and here's a quote from the book, "So you were born to feel nice instead of doing things and experiencing them? Don't you see the plants, the birds, the ants, the spiders, and bees going about their individual tasks, putting the world in order as best they can?" End quote. And by the way, notice the tone of this writing. It's like his inner adult is chastising this other part of himself that just wants to sleep in. You can almost hear the judgment in his voice. "So you were born to feel nice?" And then he continues by explaining that every living creature has some purpose it is born to do. And in the same way, a human being is not born to lay in bed, but to get up and be useful to other human beings. And then the writing continues like this, quote, "You don't love yourself enough, or you'd love your nature too, and what it demands of you. People who love what they do wear themselves down doing it. They even forget to wash or eat. Do you have less respect for your own nature than the engraver does for engraving, the dancer for the dance, the miser for money, or the social climber for status? Is helping others less valuable to you? Not worth your effort?" End quote. We all have multiple conflicting motivations inside of us, and it can get confusing sometimes. Like, we want to go to the gym, but we also want to eat donuts. We want to get a PhD, but we also want to achieve level 50 in that new video game. In these situations, one of these inner motivations will win out eventually for us. Marcus knew about this, so that's why he directly confronted the voices of his lower motivations in his head. It's just like a parent telling their kid that no, they cannot have ice cream for every meal because eventually their teeth will rot out. And we see this pattern repeating over and over again in this book, with Marcus using rational thinking to resist his base level impulses. And by the way, this process is actually very similar to modern day cognitive behavioral therapy. Therapists actually guide their patients to use rational thinking to inhibit the impulses generated from the more emotional and reactive parts of the brain. And scientists can actually see this process happening on a brain scanner. For example, anxiety is caused when a small part of the brain called the amygdala becomes activated, and then a rational thinking part of the brain comes in. It's called the prefrontal cortex. It starts firing and it calms down this amygdala. The brain is a very fascinating subject, and you can learn more about how it works in our summary of the book Behave by Robert Sapolsky. And he's a Stanford professor and an expert in human behavioral biology. So, summary of this first lesson, even an emperor like Marcus Aurelius had a part of himself that wanted to be like a teenager, lazy, undisciplined, and lying in bed all day. So he spent time rationally explaining to himself why certain actions would be bad for him in the long term, just like a parent must explain to their child why they can't eat ice cream every day. And now lesson two, remember death to stop worrying what people think. Here's another quote. You could leave life right now. Let that determine what you say and think. End quote. Being an emperor, Marcus Aurelius faced a lot more social pressure than most of us ever will. To put it into perspective, lots of very powerful people wanted him either publicly humiliated or dead. Let's not even mention how many of those ancient emperors were actually poisoned and assassinated by people close to them. Well, let me tell you, that's a lot of stress. I don't think I could take that. Luckily, most of my daily social pressure comes from little things like paying the bills or going on a nerve-wracking date or job interview or worrying if anyone will notice that pimple. Anyway, because of his high-pressure position, Marcus Aurelius often thought about the fact of death to achieve more emotional stability. So he was always reminding himself that he would be dead one day soon, and everybody who ever knew him would also be dead. So he often reminded himself of this fact with very visual language, saying that he would soon be bones or ashes. He found this to be the best cure for worrying about what people were thinking about him. Here's a quote. Concentrate every minute like a Roman, like a man, on doing what's in front of you with precise and genuine seriousness, tenderly, willingly, with justice, and on freeing yourself from all other distractions. Yes, you can if you do everything as if it were the last thing you were doing in your life, and stop being aimless, stop letting your emotions override what your mind tells you, stop being hypocritical, self-centered, irritable. End quote. You can see how he's almost lecturing to himself how to behave in life. And Marcus also told himself that even if we do have some kind of reputation after death, how is that useful for us? You'll be dead anyway. And by the way, do you respect most of the people you're surrounded by today? Well, think about it. In the future, it'll be these exact same kinds of people around you who may or may not remember your name. So is that really something to value? And by the way, this idea is surprisingly similar to some of Buddha's teachings. Buddha often told his students to meditate on the fact that everything in life was ever-changing and impermanent. If you want to learn more about that, go look at our summary of The Heart of the Buddhist Teachings by Thich Nhat Hanh, who was a prominent Vietnamese Buddhist author. Summary of this lesson, Marcus often reminded himself that he would soon be dead, and anybody who ever knew him would also be dead. This gave him increased emotional stability and less of a desire for everybody's approval. And now lesson three, choose always to interpret what happens to you as beneficial in some way. Here's a quote. Choose not to be harmed, and you won't feel harmed. Don't feel harmed, and you haven't been. End quote. Marcus recognized that each of us has a tremendous power in choosing how to interpret anything that happens to us. When something bad happens to us, we can choose not to feel like the victim. For example, if someone says some rude or hurtful words towards you, then you can choose not to let those words hurt you. You can choose to interpret what happens to you as not only harmless, but even beneficial in some way. When I was a kid, this truth seemed to be better taught than it is today. Today, there's many groups within our cultures that are pushing us towards perpetually feeling like victims over every little thing. But Marcus says that we have another choice, a better choice. And this ability to choose the meaning of what happens to us is the ultimate power that human beings have, the ultimate shield between the outside world and our innermost soul. Here's another quote. Things have no hold on the soul. They have no access to it, cannot move or direct it. It is moved and directed by itself alone. It takes the things before it and interprets them as it sees fit. End quote. Now, if you're skeptical about this, then I don't blame you. But to back up this idea, I'd like to share with you a quote from a Holocaust survivor and psychologist, Viktor Frankl. You see, when Frankl was asked how he survived years inside those World War II concentration camps, he said, and I quote, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." And that's a quote from Viktor Frankl. Most of us will never experience anything close to the horrors that Viktor Frankl did, and thank God for that. Most of his family was murdered, his body was reduced to an abused skeleton, and his friends in the camps around him were giving up and dying every day, just dropping dead. Yet despite all that, he also says the ultimate human freedom we have is the freedom to choose. And by the way, if you want to hear more of Viktor Frankl's story, then go check out our summary of his book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. It's a truly life-changing book. Summary of this lesson: when something happens to you, you always have the power to interpret it as harmful or harmless or even beneficial. This is similar to what Viktor Frankl wrote about in his experiences in the World War II concentration camps when he said, "The last human freedom we have is that cannot be taken away is our ability to choose our attitude and our way in any circumstance." And now we have lesson four. Believe everything happens for a higher reason to withstand life's catastrophes. Marcus Aurelius was a big believer in providence. That means he believed that God or nature or some higher power is always providing us protection and care. Believing in this providence helped Marcus accept when bad things happened because he viewed them as an inevitable part of his destiny and happening for some higher unknown reason, a good reason. So he believed that even very bad events always happen for our own benefit, and so we should accept them without questioning God about why they happen. It's like swallowing bad-tasting medicine from the doctor. You may not see the benefit now, but you are not smarter than nature. Nature is intelligent enough to assign certain painful lessons to individuals, often for the good of the community as a whole. I hope this is making sense. This is his thought process. The ancient philosophers often used an important word called logos, which has a very broad meaning. Logos means an individual person's ability to think logically, and it also means the intelligent order that is built into the nature of the universe. So, if you believe there is order behind the universe, then there must be a deeper reason and meaning to everything that happens in it, even bad things, even when you can't understand it at this moment. So, this way of thinking also can help us accept everything that happens and to flow with it rather than resisting life. And this is a big part of Stoic philosophy. In fact, in the introduction of this book, the author Gregory Hayes wrote a great analogy, which I'll share with you. He said, if a dog is attached by a leash to a moving wagon, then it can either choose to run with the wagon, or it can resist it and be painfully dragged behind it. I mean, it can always choose, but one option is obviously better than the other. So when people resist the things that happen to them, they're only making life more painful for themselves. A summary of this lesson? Marcus believed in providence, which means some higher power is always providing us protection and care. He believed there is an intelligent order to the universe called Logos, so there must be a reason even for bad events to happen. Although we may not see the reason, we should accept what happens, just like swallowing bad-tasting medicine from the doctor. Now lesson 5. Accept that other people cannot help being imperfect. To be a good leader, Marcus knew he had to be tolerant and forgiving with the people around him. This was true even when, and especially when, those people were being deliberately selfish or dishonest. He knew that to be a good leader, he had to remain connected with the people around him. Therefore, anger was never the right response. Marcus saw anger as a major weakness, like he was giving up on his job. So to avoid becoming too angry and alienated from those around him, Marcus always reminded himself that people never do wrong on purpose. He believed that if someone could see their actions were wrong, then they would not be that way. But because they can't see, so they do things that are petty, selfish, untrustworthy, and misbehaving. Here's a quote. That sort of person is bound to do that. You might as well resent a fig tree for secreting juice. Anyway, before very long, you'll both be dead. Dead and soon forgotten. And here's another quote. When faced with people's bad behavior, turn around and ask when you have acted like that. When you saw money as good or pleasure or social position, your anger will subside as soon as you recognize that they acted under compulsion. What else could they do? End quote. Plus, telling someone they are wrong directly is never something they can accept, so that approach is futile. People will always resist being called bad and not good. So instead, you have to guide them to the right behavior through compassionate reasoning, not condemnation. By the way, if you want to learn how to communicate better and stand up for yourself without triggering another person's defensiveness, then a great book for that is Nonviolent Communication by Marshall B. Rosenberg, and we have a summary of that. The guy is a world-renowned psychologist, and he created this whole framework for communicating when you have disagreements. That book was Nonviolent Communication by Marshall B. Rosenberg. So a summary of this lesson is people never do wrong on purpose. They always believe they are doing right. So people always resist being called bad, and you must show them with compassion the error of their ways. And now we have lesson 6, embrace obstacles to grow your inner fire. Marcus believed humans do not thrive when life is too easy. He saw that challenges are good for the human soul. In fact, many of the richest people in the world today, like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and Mark Zuckerberg, have pledged to give almost all their wealth to charity when they die. They're smart enough to know that giving their kids billions of dollars would actually probably ruin their lives and happiness. And as the piercing cultural critic and noted musician, the notorious B.I.G. once said, "Mo' money, mo' problems." Ain't that true? Anyway, Marcus said humans are designed to turn our obstacles into fuel. So imagine that each new challenge you face is another log you throw on your inner fire, making you burn brighter. Marcus saw that any time he faced some external obstacle that at first looked impossible, he was always able to find some way around it to achieve what he really wanted to do. And remember, he spent his time fighting wars with outside countries and trying to keep a country together. Here's a quote, "Because we can accommodate and adapt, the mind adapts and converts to its own purposes the obstacle to our acting. The impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way." Here's another quote. "So remember this principle when something threatens to cause you pain. The thing itself was no misfortune at all. To endure it and prevail is a great good fortune." End quote. Marcus also says, if something is endurable, then stop complaining and endure it. And if the obstacle is not endurable, like a terminal illness, I guess, well, then you don't have much time to worry about it anyway. So let me share with you a real-life example. In the 1950s, a guy called Sam, he left the military, and then he spent his savings opening up a small discount store in a small town in Arkansas. Then he spent a few years working very hard to make this store successful, and he was so proud of what he accomplished. But then something bad happened. You see, when Sam first signed the lease agreement for that building, he didn't look at the fine print carefully enough. So the building owner was able to legally kick him out and basically take over the store. So Sam lost his profitable store, and to open up a new store, he had to leave this town and leave the community which he loved. It was very painful at the time, and yet many years later, Sam would look back and say that was one of the best things to ever happen to him. Why? Well, because he was then able to start fresh with his next store, and that store would soon multiply into thousands of stores. What was the name of that second store that Sam opened? Walmart. And by the way, if you want to learn more about how Sam Walton grew his Walmart stores successfully, then go see our summary of the book Made in America, written by Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart. There's lots of great business lessons in that book. So a summary of this lesson is humans are designed to turn obstacles into fuel, transforming each obstacle we face into the next step of our plan. People simply do not thrive when life is too easy, which is probably why America's richest people like Bill Gates have pledged to give very little of their money to their kids when they die. And now we have lesson 7. Describe the raw materials of everything to see life with fresh eyes. Marcus Aurelius was constantly surrounded by the excesses of his society. I mean, he was an emperor after all. So he saw endless gold, purple robes, generous feasts, and puffed up ceremonies. Most people could easily get lost and overimpressed by that parallel universe. So to help himself stay grounded, Marcus seemed to love describing things around him in a raw and crude way. Here's a quote. "Like seeing roasted meat and other dishes in front of you and suddenly realizing this is a dead fish, a dead bird, a dead pig, or that this noble vintage is grape juice and the purple robes are sheep wool dyed with shellfish blood, or making love, something rubbed against your penis, a brief seizure and a little cloudy liquid. Perceptions like that, latching onto things and piercing through them so we see what they really are. That's what we need to do all the time, to lay them bare and see how pointless they are, to strip away the legend that encrusts them." End quote. Now, this is a great trick. You should try it for yourself. Describe something you're desiring in the most sterile and unappetizing way you can, and you might be able to break through the illusion of it like Marcus did. Here's another example. When Marcus was beginning to worry about the approval of others, he would tell himself that it is, quote, "no more than the clacking of their tongues, which is all that public praise amounts to, a clacking of tongues," end quote. So by describing the objects of his desires in this way, Marcus was then able to value them less and focus more on those deep and wholesome motivations like doing his duty and serving other people. Summary of this lesson, Marcus was surrounded by pompous luxury, but he loved to strip away the illusion of it by describing everything in a crude and raw way. He's speaking of a feast in front of him, he said it was a dead fish, a dead bird, a dead pig. And now lesson 8. Think less about the past and future because your life only happens in the present. Marcus recognized that all we have is the present. The past already happened, the future has not yet happened, so the past and future only exist inside of our minds. But our whole life is lived in the present, moment by moment. Plus, when your energy and attention is being wasted by thinking about the past or future, then you have no focus left to put into the present moment. And your actions can only ever occur in the present moment. You can never change what's in the past, and you can't do anything about what might or might not happen in the future. You can't touch that either. Only your actions right now are within your control. And a big part of Stoic philosophy is only focusing on what we can control, not on the things we cannot control. Here's a quote. "Forget everything else. Keep hold of this alone and remember it. Each of us lives only now, this brief instant. The rest has been lived already or is impossible to see." Here's another quote. "The present is all that they can give up, since that is all you have, and what you do not have, you cannot lose." End quote. Marcus also spoke about pruning our thoughts so they are more honest and straightforward. He imagined that a good person could tell everyone out loud what they are thinking about at any moment without stress or calculation. That would be a sure sign that you're living with honesty and integrity. Marcus says to move towards that kind of pure state of mind, we must work on moderating our impulses, making sure our actions benefit the social good more often and not just ourselves. Summary of this lesson: you can't change the past, nor can you do anything about what might or might not happen in the future. The only place you have any control is the present, because this is where all your actions happen. A big part of Stoic philosophy is to focus only on what we can control. Okay, so those were some of the best ideas from this book. We're finished with this book summary. But let's end this with one last quote. Here's the quote. "The things you think about determine the quality of your mind. Your soul takes on the color of your thoughts." End quote. And I hope by listening to these book summaries from incredible authors like Marcus Aurelius, your soul is also being colored by these ideas. Marcus was an amazing leader, and he had so many insightful thoughts. And I'll see you in our next summary.